Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
This is James Averre from Hellstar and Sabbath Judas Sabbath! Rock out with your geek out!
Talk about how I saw Spy for the first time, finally.
Spy versus Spy?
What did you think?
No, Spy, like the Melissa McCarthy Spy.
Why would you watch it?
Well, okay, so I posted on Facebook about what a terrible actress Melissa McCarthy is, and a lot of people like came to her defense. And I was like, look, I'm not some
you
guy
haven't
that,
seen her in
I'm not some misogynist who's like, hey, I don't want to see Ghostbusters because there's women. And I was like, yeah. I like three of the actresses. I just fucking hate Melissa McCarthy.
Which three of the actresses do you like?
Kate McKinnon and Leslie Jones and Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, but Kristen Wiig's just playing her awkward self.
But she does it really well. And she's not horrible to watch.
I guess.
She's a lot better than Melissa McCarthy, who's basically like, oh, I'm fat, watch me fall over humor. And she doesn't do that very well either.
Leslie Jones does the exact same thing.
Right. Leslie Jones does Angry Black Woman, which she's great at. Like, none of these people have much range except for Kate McKinnon. Like, that's true. But something, Melissa McCarthy reminds me of, like, a terrible, terrible female version of Chris Farley.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
But she's not funny. And I don't like her because
I don't think she's not funny. I think Paul Feig's movies are not funny, or Feig, whatever the fuck you call him, whatever. He's not funny.
All
like,
I know
his
is
his movies are not funny.
Are we recording already? What's going on?
No.
I don't know. I thought this was a test.
Oh well, I mean, this could be like the intro to the fucking show.
Said balls. This
yeah,
is not
no
the
one
intro.
Said balls yet.
Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2,
shweaty balls,
ball sack.
I see how you pulled the SNL, you know, reference off of there. That's pretty good.
Are we really using it as our intro?
Why not?
Okay, sure.
It's too late. We've already started.
We're in it. We're in it to win it.
Sure.
Welcome to the Metal Geeks Podcast.
What's up, guys?
What's up? Let's see. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with
George Gypsis.
And we have a special guest again. He just showed up and wouldn't leave. Right?
I never left.
And you never left? I thought it was a fucking ghost. Now makes a little bit more sense. Okay.
I've been fucking with you for like 2 months.
So we have Justin from the Comical Podcast.
It's
welcome.
Like that Osimo episode with Cartman. He's like sitting in the closet eating toothpaste.
I'm so hungry.
So hungry.
Oh man, South Park's the best.
Awesome. South Park, in how many years has it been out now? It's never had a bad season. Maybe a couple bad episodes, but never a bad season.
Yeah,
I'd say there's more than a couple bad episodes. Like, I feel like every single season there's two or three real gems. Like, two or three episodes that are just, like, out of the park, amazing. There's, like, two or three that are just kind of okay. And there's always, like, four or five that are usually politically related that just kind of fall flat.
Well, I really enjoyed the last season where everything had, like, this overarching story.
They've done that.
I have not seen that season yet.
Really?
I haven't seen, to be honest with you, I haven't seen a single new episode.
You haven't seen the gentrification of Kenny's neighborhood, his house?
No, I haven't.
It's fucking great.
Or Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner showing up.
No, I haven't.
She runs over a person every time she drives her car away and she goes, buckle up, buckaroo.
You must see this season.
It's pretty awesome.
I will check it out.
So one of the reasons I wanted to get you guys here is we're going to talk about something that you're doing together.
That's right.
In the privacy of your own home, basically.
That's right.
Right?
Where we are...
We're consenting adults.
Yeah.
That's true. You could draw all over the
It's totally legal now. It's what it is.
But we'll get there. Well, I want to talk about what we've been up to recently.
Okay.
What have you guys been up to? Let's start with George. What have you been watching or playing or doing?
I've been watching a crap load of Persons of Interest on Netflix. Because, I don't know, I ran out of shit to watch.
My co-host Sean from MSRcast is going to love that.
Oh, yeah.
He is a geek for that
show. Me and him already have a cohesion love for Arrow and Flash. You are on the outskirts. Like, I fucking hate that show.
I don't hate it. I just don't like it. There's a difference.
Is there?
Yes.
Is there?
I
think you're just jealous of Mamel's abs, is what it is.
Yeah, I don't want his abs.
I do. Shit. I wish I could look like a Mel. I get all the tail in the world. Even guys, too, if they wanted.
What? That is what you guys have been doing together.
It's a joke, people. Calm
they don't
down.
Call him the Flash for nothing.
There you go. And it's it.
So what makes that show special?
It's just a fun, like...
Let me ask you this. Who is the person of interest?
It's Jesus.
Is it?
Yeah.
Not Abe Lincoln?
No, the person of interest is a new person usually almost every episode.
It is.
There's basically a supercomputer that was built to find social security numbers for people that are going to be in imminent danger. And initially it was built for finding terrorist threats. But there's
it created two lists. For terrorist attacks against U.S. soil and one that's not prevalent.
You're telling me a supercomputer can print out a guy's name who's about to die?
Just
be in trouble?
Just the number.
Just a social security number.
But how do they know he's going to die?
Using statistics and surveillance cameras around the world.
Tapped into everything. And basically...
it's a mathematical code that the guy invented.
There's this team of people. John Reese, who's...
Jesus.
Jesus. Jim Caviezel. And Ben from Lost.
Yeah. I've seen him on that.
That's the main reason why I wanted to watch.
He's actually the guy who built the supercomputer.
He's a good
years ago.
Yeah,
is he a bad guy or a good guy?
He's a good guy.
They're a good guy. They're like the Batman and Alfred.
Yeah, totally. That's a really good comparison. It feels like I'm watching like a real life Batman if he didn't have a costume.
That's really what it kind of feels like. Yeah,
yeah.
He goes out and helps people. That. Yeah,
and like I just got to the point of the show where they introduce like one of the major like villains, and it's kind of like
Parallel?
No, it's like the Moriarty of
Sherlock.
Of Sherlock, but it's their villain. Is that kind of equivalent type of
their
villain?
Arch nemesis?
Yeah, well, it hasn't became an arch nemesis yet, but it will be, like the way they set it up.
I'm a couple seasons behind on the show, but I watched the first three. It's really, really good.
Damn, is that many seasons?
I think there's five now, yeah.
Holy fuck, I'm way behind.
I'm definitely way behind. I've never watched it.
It's really good. I'm enjoying it. But I am, to be fair, I'm skipping around to the serialized episodes. I'm not watching the one-off episodes.
Okay.
Just so I can catch up. But I hear, like, once you get past season two, every episode serialized.
Yeah, sounds right.
It's no longer case of the week after the second season.
Procedural? Is it very...
Very, very procedural in the first season. Like, first three episodes, they all kind of run together. Then it kind of becomes who we're going to save today. And then eventually they'll go back to like a serial type story. And then they'll go back to the other
There's family. A lot of really good fight scenes, though, and a lot of shit blowing up.
Okay.
Yeah. Jim Caviezel's actually pretty good at
action scenes. My only beef about Jim Caviezel, he always looks like he's going to cry. That's it. That's my only thing. Every time he's on screen and he looks in the camera, he looks like he's about to burst in tears.
Have you seen any movies recently?
I did. I saw The Witch, which we talked about last week, and Justin
just saw that too,
Justin
right?
just saw
What'd
that.
What'd you think of it?
I actually really enjoyed it. It's not... a perfect horror movie. It's not my favorite horror movie of all time.
I think horror movie is calling a stretch.
It's a very cool movie. Like it's meant to be spooky. It's meant to be like an ambience driven horror film.
Isn't a lot of it like sound design is a part of the...
A lot of it is sound design, which like it's something I'm really into right now. I've been listening to a lot of horror podcasts, so like I'm really into that whole like creepy sound thing. So when I saw this movie, it fit perfectly with what I've been...
So when you listen to this show, you hear our voices and you're like, oh, that's some creepy sound.
That's too scary for me, actually. I skipped this one.
He can't sleep at night when he listens to this show.
I can't either.
No, but I liked The Witch a lot. I feel like the last 20 minutes is just amazing. Like, it was so fun.
I loved the last 20 minutes of the movie. I couldn't stand everything up till.
There's some difficult parts. The old English.
I don't know if it's something I'm going to go see in the theater, but
I think that's what it was. I was perceived to believe like this is like going to be like a truly like original type horror film. And to its defense, it kind of is, but it's not as it's marketed.
I think it's just very cool. Like it's not super scary. It's not
a lot of movies are not how they are marketed. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
I'd recommend seeing it in the theater while you still can. Yeah. I mean, it's going out pretty soon.
Alamo Draft House is about to drop in there.
You don't really want to miss those last 20 minutes. Like, I think
it was pretty good.
You'll like those last 20 minutes.
I want to see Zootopia though.
Zootopia,
totally different movie. But you saw it, George, right?
Yeah, I saw it Monday.
Why wasn't I invited?
Because I went on a date.
Still doesn't make any difference.
Oh, okay. Next time we go on a date.
There's other rows in the theater.
Next time we go on a date, I'll be like, hey, Carrie, you want to be the third wheel on our date?
Well, you know, I got a wife, too.
Oh, okay. I can do that, too. Yeah, why not just make it a double date, then?
So or we can trade these, you know.
Just
stick with the third wheel plan.
It makes it more uncomfortable, I think. I'm going to sit there with my little box of popcorn right behind you guys.
Yeah.
What you guys do?
You can scream and cry like a little kid. Kick the back of his chair.
Well, it's less awkward than going to a Disney movie in the afternoon by yourself, so.
Yeah. Trying to catch those kids on spring break, huh? Right.
Pokemon master, man. Gotta catch them all.
So, what's your opinion on the movie?
It was very, very good. Way better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be like a cutesy, like, you know, Big Hero 6 type Disney animation.
Was it better than Big Hero 6?
My opinion, yes.
Because Big Hero 6 was good, but it wasn't great.
Right. Like, Big Hero 6 is fun. Zootopia.
And they're making a series out of that now on
a
Disney.
A cartoon show, yeah. Which could be really cool in a way if you think about it.
Flesh it out a little bit more, yeah.
Zootopia was really cool because I thought it was going to be one thing, and it decided to teach me a life lesson.
Is it funny?
Oh, it's very funny.
I seen the clip where they go into the PlayStation?
DMV?
The DMV and the sloth is like checking him out.
Oh, yeah. That was a good part. I just feel it sucks because that whole part was in the trailer.
Yeah.
There's nothing else more to it other than what you see in the trailer. Yeah.
Okay.
But there are, like, the world that they created for the movie is fantastic. It's like, it feels like a real living, breathing thing.
When Disney does movies with talking animals, they're on point.
Like, this is probably the best talking animal movie I've ever seen.
Better than Lion King?
It's up there.
Really?
Yeah, it's up there. Like, right next to it, almost.
Better than The Witch?
No.
Dude, when that goat talks, fuck. My hair stood up on the back of my neck. No, really, a goat talks.
Yeah, I know. You told me that.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
He spoiled the movie before we recorded last time. I was like, okay, I'm all right.
We were talking about it with Dave, though.
Still really cool.
I had to have Dave explain it to me, because at first I thought it was just some creepy dude.
And we got to explain, Dave isn't here today because there was really fucking bad weather in Houston.
Yeah, it's...
But he'll be back on this
weekend,
too.
Raining shits and dogs.
It is.
Yeah.
And cats, too.
And cats. And
diarrhea.
Poop.
I still got to drive home. I hope not.
I think it's going to be gone by then. But anyway, Zootopia is great. The reason why I liked it a lot, because...
Is it short, long?
Well. I don't know how long it is, to be honest with you. I can't remember. It went by pretty fast, but it didn't feel like it was too short of a film, or it didn't feel like it was too long. The reason I liked it a lot is because it had a lot of different messages and themes in it.
Had a lot of heart.
It did have a lot of heart.
It made a lot of money the first week. It made like $78 million or something like that.
Rightfully so. It's a good movie. Well, because it's about like when the movie first starts out, you think it's about this bunny who's told her whole life she can't be a cop because she's a bunny, and then she
as you're told as a bunny, yeah, sure,
yeah, and then she like perseveres and she becomes a bunny, but then she meets like her like nemesis, who's the fox, played by Jason Bateman, who outsmarts her. And sure enough...
A foxy fox?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they have to band together because he has some critical information for her case, and she needs to solve this case to save her career. That's basically the whole plot line of the movie.
It's like Person of Interest.
Kind of. Except funny, with talking animals. Even though Persons of Interest has a couple chuckles here and there.
They're all bipedal. They all walk and don't walk on four legs and all that good stuff.
No, they talk about that in the movie.
Do they?
Yeah, they actually mention how long ago they were once savage animals that used to hunt predator for prey and shit like that. And that plays like a huge piece in the movie later on.
So evolution.
Yeah. So like you learn a little bit of evolution. You learn about like, you know, doesn't matter how big or small you are, you can achieve your dreams and goals. They talk about like sexism a little bit. They talk about like racism. And like I guess for them it wouldn't be interracial relationships, but interspecies relationships.
It's interspecies relation. What are the
interspecies erotica? Fucko.
So yeah, I really liked it a lot.
Yeah. It was,
I liked interspecies erotica especially. No.
Yeah.
It was very good. I enjoyed.
I do want to see it. I mean, that's. I try to make it a point to see every single Disney movie in the theater. I don't think I saw... Was the last one? What was the last movie?
The Good Dinosaur?
Yeah, I didn't see that.
That was a Pixar movie.
Well, still, I've seen every Pixar movie too. But
this is not a Pixar movie.
I know.
Yeah, this is, I think it's getting to the point where I get more excited for Disney animation films than Pixar films.
That would have never happened 15 years ago.
I know, right?
Like, did you see the preview for Finding Dory?
I did.
Yeah.
I don't care for it whatsoever.
You're not gonna find it.
I kind of feel like they're like, oh, hey, let's just rehash all the same jokes, but with Dory this time, and she has amnesia.
I don't know if I can take a whole movie of Ellen DeGeneres' voice. Just can't do it.
God, it's just you and female people. You don't like anybody that's a female character, do you?
Trust me, I like a lot of females.
Just not annoying ones.
Just not annoying ones.
You playing any games or anything?
I downloaded Broforce, but I haven't played it yet.
Oh, let's talk about Broforce.
I haven't played it yet, but I really want to play Broforce.
I am super addicted to fucking Broforce, right?
You're addicted to bros?
To Broforce.
Oh.
Only Broforce, not bros. But yeah, maybe the bros in the game.
You kind of look like a bro.
Why?
The way you dress and the ponytail. It's very bro for you.
Is it really bro?
Yeah.
Really bro?
Yeah, brah.
Whatever. Really brah?
Coming at
Come
me?
On, brah!
You coming
let's
at
go,
me?
Brah!
You coming at me, brah?
What's up, brah? Let's go. Dude, I've been waiting so long for the game. I know it's been on the PC for a long time.
Yeah, on Steam, right?
Yeah, but it was like last month you could vote on PSN of what game you wanted for the PlayStation Plus this month. And
how many times did you vote for Broforce?
Just once. You can only vote once.
Uh-huh.
So overwhelming amount of votes went for Broforce, and it's fucking great, I gotta tell you, dude. Do you know what it is about?
Yeah, I know
what
it's about.
Okay.
I saw the trailer for it when it first came out.
It's a fucking difficult game.
Y'all played
game.
It when y'all went to G4, not this past year, but
PAX.
The year before.
I didn't get to play
I'm
it.
I'm sorry,
I got
PAX.
To watch people play it.
Yeah.
Because the line for it was super fucking long. So, if you don't know what Broforce is, it's a modern take on like an arcade game, basically. You go through
it's
levels.
It's like an old school NES platformer.
Yeah, platformer, NES. That's perfect. It's definitely 8-bit pixels.
Like Metal Slug in a way. Like old school Metal Slug.
Yes and no.
Really?
A little bit.
Because that's what it looks like when I watch the trailer.
It's a little bit, but it's the levels are more, they're short, they're more digestible. So like you get like 2 or 3 levels and then you fight a boss most of the times.
It's what the first Metal Slug was like.
Yeah. But it's
at least what I remember.
All right, so the main purpose of the game is to shoot the fuck out of everything, kill everything, and save people.
As you should.
As you would. The more people that you save, the more characters you open up. So, like, say you save 100 people, 100 characters, another character will open up for you. And every time you die, you get to it rotates through the characters. You don't get to actually pick who you want to be.
Oh, I see. So every time you start a new level, it's a surprise kind of deal?
Well, every time you die.
Oh.
Surprise, or every time you actually save
surprise, motherfucker!
Every time you save somebody, you change into a new character.
Which okay.
It brings out, okay, I like this guy with his gun, but do I want to lose it to rescue this guy so I can earn more characters? It fucks with your head. You're like, because some of the characters are not great. I'll admit that.
Yeah?
Some of them are really short range, you know, it doesn't work.
Trying to say Ash Williams with the chainsaw hand?
Ash is fucking awesome, though.
Oh, okay.
Let's talk about some of the characters you can get. Everybody has bro in their name, right?
Yeah.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah, like Bromando.
It's Rambo. Rambro.
Yeah, Rambro. There you go. Ramming that bro.
Bromando was the next one. You're right. B.A. Bro Rockus.
What the fuck is that?
A-Team. Mr. T.
Oh.
Yeah.
Never watched the A-Team.
Brodell Walker, which is unfortunately Walker Texas Ranger.
Chuck Norris. Gotta get some Chuck Norris in there. He's like the OG,
bro. There could have been better Chuck Norris characters to go from, though. Like,
how has Chuck Norris not sued this company?
How have a lot of people not sued this for this?
They probably think it's hilarious.
Then we got
Chuck Norris?
We got Brohard.
He thinks everything's hilarious.
Okay.
We got, you know, John McClane from Brohard. Mac Brover, which I'm not a big fan of that character because all he has is dynamite.
It's dynamite.
Is that based on MacGruber?
No, it's based on
MacGyver.
Oh, okay.
Not MacGruber. Which MacGruber makes fun of MacGyver.
You have
I forgot about MacGyver.
That's bad. You only remember the spoof, right? And not the real thing.
Oh, it's awful.
You have Braid.
Who?
Braid, which is Blade.
Oh.
Wesley Snipes. You have Bro Dread.
Like Dread?
Just Dread, exactly. Yeah. He's pretty awesome.
He got lots of guns.
Bro in Black, which is
Men in Black?
Men in Black, Agent J.
Why's it got to be the black dude?
I don't know, because there hadn't been one yet. Oh, yeah, it's Baracus. Bro Rockus.
What happened to Agent K? Does he get no loves because he's old? That's ageism.
It is. I think it is a little bit. I didn't make the game. I just played it.
Tommy Lee Brones. He's not in there.
Oh, that would be a good one. Tommy Lee Bros.
Snake Broskin.
Snake Plissken. Yep.
Brominator.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Brobocop.
That can't be the only Arnold Schwarzenegger character they created.
No, there's not. Indiana Brones.
All right.
Yeah, he's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, he has a gun and a whip.
Yep, he does. Exactly. His gun's fucking powerful, too.
Yeah, that's what he tells all the ladies.
Ash Brilliams is fucking great.
So you get
each character has like the regular, you know, attack move, and there's like a super attack move.
So you can get to use a chainsaw and cut people up and stuff?
Exactly right.
Cool.
Mr. Anderbro.
Who?
Mr. Anderbro. Think about it in a second.
Mr.
Matrix.
Yes. Mr. Exactly right.
Neo. Oh, Anderson. I get it. Oh, that's cool. So you get to stop bullets and shit?
Yeah, you guys should get to slow down time with that one.
Oh, that's cool.
The Boondock Bros.
Why didn't they do Nebro?
Yeah, that sounds a lot better.
Yeah. Let's see. The Boondock Bros, which are pretty cool. Brochetti. Yeah.
Brochetti.
Bronan the Barbarian. The Brobarian.
Yes, yeah, another Arnold.
Is there Toxic Brovenger in there?
That would be fucking awesome.
Man. That would be that's the next
Ellen Ripbro.
Who?
Ellen Ripbro. Ripley.
Oh, Ripley. Oh, okay.
Time Bro. Time Cop.
Jean-Claude?
Yeah.
Mr. Van Damme himself.
Broniversal Soldier.
Another Van Damme.
Yeah. Colonel James Brodock. Missing and Etching. Yeah?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, don't know that one.
Cherry Broling from Planet Terror, which is, you know, Cherry Darling.
Yeah, you had to explain that to me because it didn't click to me right away.
What's the shotgun on her leg?
Yeah, the machine gun lady leg thing.
Bro Max.
Mad Max?
Yeah.
Cool.
Haven't got him yet.
I bet he sounds kind of lame, though, unless he shows up in a car.
That seems like such a missed opportunity, calling him Bro Max. Like, shouldn't it be Mad Bro? Like, this is so much funnier.
Are you Mad Bro?
Mad Bro.
Mad Bro.
Let's see. The Brode.
Who?
The Brode. Think about it. What do you think?
The Brode?
The Brode.
All I'm thinking is Chode, but that's not right.
No, not Chode. The Bride from the Kill Bill series. They're stretching on some of them.
Yeah.
Because
what confuses me, they're giving bro names to chicks, yeah. Which is kind of confusing.
No Orgasbro?
I wish. That'd be awesome.
Man, I have so many better characters than they picked. What is this going?
What about, it's for the volume two.
What probably. About Double Bro 7? Not bad.
All right.
The Brodator.
The who?
The Brodator.
Is it then Terminator again?
Predator.
Oh, Predator.
Yep. Let's see. The Brocketeer. The Brocketeer, let's say.
Brocketeer. Yeah. Does he have a jetpack and everything?
Yep. He's actually pretty awesome.
Does he fly and shit?
Hell yeah. Broheart.
Do they have Batman in here?
No.
Broman.
Yeah. Oh, Broman. Broatman.
He already sort of is Broman.
Broman.
The Professional.
Leon the Professional. Yep. So these are all like 80s, 90s like culture icons.
For some reason, Broden.
Yeah, some of them, I guess.
You know who Broden is?
Who?
Broden.
Conan?
No.
Huh.
Rodan?
No. Raiden from Mortal Kombat.
Really?
And the Brolander.
Highlander, nice.
And all the characters.
It cuts off everyone's heads?
Yep. And everybody's characters from the Expendables are on here, too.
Cool. I'm excited to play it. It looks like a shitload of fun.
It is a shitload of fun. It's addicting, too. I'm like on level 8 or 9. It gets fucking difficult, though. I'm not going to lie.
Well, just like all the other platformers did. That's why,
You know what? I'm
ate all my money at the arcade.
You know what else I've been playing a lot of? Lego Marvel Avengers.
Still, you still rocking that game?
I am like at 88% done with the game.
Oh wow!
I'm gonna 100% that game.
I remember when you first got it, and you were only like 10% in. So that's
I've been playing the fuck out of it. All the levels are beaten. Now I'm just trying to open up everything, all the characters and everything.
So you tell all the ladies. Just trying to open everything. Just
try to open it all up. You know what I mean? 100% you, baby.
I need some achievements. That should be every gamer's pickup line. I just want 100% you, baby.
Got to give me some achievements.
You got some DLC for me? I need some more.
I got some DLC for you in my pants.
That's right. Have you been playing any games or anything, Justin?
Halo.
Halo still?
Still. Hit level 62 yesterday.
Really?
In multiplayer.
So yeah. I have something I want you to try out. I haven't played it much because I'm having a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for? Hand problems? Pain?
Carpal tunnel
issues? And not
slapping the monkey too much?
No, not enough, apparently. But I got...
They say it like helps your skin if you rub it in.
I don't think I really want to try that.
But don't you, though?
Dude, I have socks for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your feet are nice and moisturized.
Oh, man. That's gross. I had a bunch of credit for like Best Buy and shit. So
when don't you have like a lot of credit? Every time I come over, he's like, dude, I had like $10 in gift cards at Best Buy. Like every day. You're working the system somehow.
I know how to work the system. It's called Cheap As a Gamer. I'm telling you.
All right.
And so I picked up the Elite Controller.
Oh, cool. Oh, you did, the buttons on the bottom.
I'll let you play with it. It's actually
you can
pretty... Go. Oh, yeah. I'll let you play with it.
You let me play with it?
Because a couple extra buttons, you know what I'm saying? On the bottom, you just tickle them.
I have to bring my own sock, or...
You're probably wearing some now, right? You're good. Why do y'all gotta be so fucking disgusting, man? It's in my house.
We can't help ourselves.
I really can't.
I thought this show was above childish, jokes and stuff.
We are so not above that.
We've already made many poop and cum jokes since we started the show.
Oh, man, if you read our
comic... How many more do we go?
Have you read our comic book?
I have.
Yeah.
You know what? That's the reason I brought you guys together tonight. You know what? Let's get into it before we talk about any topics. You want
sure.
to?
Yeah, of sure. course.
So... What's the impetus for the comic book company? Let's talk about the name and how you came up with everything. Give me the elevator pitch.
How we came up with the name?
You want
Well, I want to know how you guys decided to do a comic company together, how you decided what comic you're going to do.
All right, so let's just give them the whole story.
Give me the elevator pitch.
The elevator story to the how we came up with a company or how we came up with a comic.
Let's talk about the company first.
You have 60 seconds to go.
All right, so...
60 seconds. If you want to know all that information, you're going to have to give us a little more time.
You know what elevator pitch is, right? You have 60 seconds to tell
you. We can give you the elevator pitch for the story, but we'll save that for the end so that it's memorable.
Let's do it.
So let's talk about first. So your birthday, we all went out to dinner. Guru Burger.
Yep.
Yes.
And George said, hey, Justin, I have an idea for a comic book.
Actually, I said it was an idea for a movie.
You said, I have this idea for a story, and I have a friend that might want to animate it. But it could also possibly be a comic book, but I don't really know. I don't know much about comics. What do you think? And you told it to me, and
I don't know much about writing comics, is what I said.
I said, okay, yeah, I could see that working. And then we went back and forth on a couple of ideas, and we kind of loosely formed the idea for making this into a comic and how it would work.
Is that the same night you cut me out of the deal?
Yeah.
Okay. I was making sure.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We put you in the comic, though, to make up for it.
Okay.
So. You're totally in the comic.
I get killed, though, right?
No.
Ah, damn it.
You do a really awesome line, though.
True.
You read the second issue, right? Okay. You probably saw yourself in the comic.
Yes. So anyways, George reached out to me, and he was like, hey, man, I'm really kind of serious about doing this. Do you want to proceed?
He's reaching out to you right now, too, under the table.
Well, that happens every time we're together.
Okay. That's how we write.
One hand on the pencil.
Jiggle the eraser.
Yep.
And, we met and we went and had dinner and we talked about it and we kind of fleshed out the idea for the overarching story.
Right.
And we both really liked it. And then we were like, okay, well, I think we could do this. So then we met again and actually tried to write out the beginning of the comic book.
Yeah, we did an overview for issue one just to see... if we could tell a viable story in 22 pages.
Right. And that's the key. Comics are supposed to be 22 pages. Right. That's standard industry number. And it's actually pretty hard to fit a lot of story into 22 pages.
Yeah, we learned that the hard way.
Issue one, we almost have too many panels on a couple of pages, but I think we can make everything fit because our artist is so amazing. Issue two, we learned from our mistakes. We're obviously improving as writers.
Yeah. But issue three will be top notch.
Issue three will be top notch. I have no doubt at all.
In issue four, you'll just, okay, we're done. We retire now.
You can't top that after. We're done. No, actually, we have a plan for 20 issues.
20 issues. Two 10-issue arcs, and we have the first 10 fully planned out all the way from beginning to end. It's just all the little details between issue 4 and 10 we have to work out.
Yeah, like unlike Lost, we know how the show ends.
Yes. So anyways, our story...
That's why the show was called Lost, because they never fucking knew what they were doing each week.
We do. There's no worry there. Our story is about two brothers. They're living in the 1930s. One of them is 16 and one of them is 14. And they're kind of orphans. Like, they have parents, but their parents are kind of dicks. So they ran away. And they're surviving by their wit alone. Like, they're scam artists. They find, you know, ways to survive on the street. Yeah, they're little con artists in the 30s. So they end up coming up with this idea to steal a bunch of booze from somebody, but they don't really know who it is. It turns out to be the leader of this kind of nefarious gang. And that guy's not going to let that fly.
Well, this is during, like, the...
it's not Prohibition. It's after Prohibition.
So
it's still big business.
Yeah, people want booze.
Yeah.
And who would want more booze and after the Prohibition when you can't get enough of it at that point?
Yeah.
And all the people that were big in the Prohibition still have their business.
Right. And now their business is doubled.
Yeah.
Basically.
Because it's legal?
Yes, because it's legal.
So anyways, the leader of this gang is like, oh, hell no, nobody steals from me. I'm going to kill these fuckers. So he gets his gang together and he goes after them. Well, the boys go on the run. They end up
barely
escaping with their lives. I mean, they're kids and they're brothers. It's very obvious they're brothers. They crack jokes and make fun of each other constantly throughout the book. The book's very much a horror comedy story. So they barely escape with their lives and they end up at this cabin in the woods. And it turns out that 10 years before they get there, this cabin was used for some very interesting experiments. A fairly well-known horror author.
A very famous horror author and a very famous inventor.
They teamed up to try to find a way to explore other worlds.
Is it Stephen King?
It's not. Yes. Stephen King. Not in the 1920s.
Hey, you don't know how long Stephen King's been around.
He's immortal, is what it is.
Yeah, I think so.
No, it's not Stephen King.
It's not Stephen King. So anyways, should we just tell him who it is?
No, they'll find out.
Okay.
I know who it is.
Yeah, you know it is because you read two issues.
They find a way to open a portal between dimensions. And you know, back then, 10 years ago, kind of all hell breaks loose. Like, demons come through and their assistant ends up getting killed and just bad shit happens. So they box everything up and they're like, we're not going to mess with this anymore.
When the portal opens, does it go sliders?
No, it doesn't.
No,
it's not that kind of portal.
It's not a sliding portal.
It's a combination of technology and magic that makes it happen. So they box everything up and they're planning on destroying the equipment and the research and just getting rid of all of it. But that never happens. Some stuff occurs and they never make it back to the cabin. So when the boys stumble upon the cabin, they find the box full of stuff and start playing around with it. And accidentally.
Inadvertently open the portal.
Open a portal and let evil back into the world.
wouldn't you?
Well, yeah.
It's like Pandora's box, right? You have to open the damn box.
Exactly. Actually, that was the initial original title.
That was our working title for a long time, was The Box, because I liked the allusion to Pandora's box. Yep. But we ended up coming with a better title.
Much better title.
It's going to be called Speak No Evil. And we're actually doing a Kickstarter to finance the coloring and lettering and printing of the first issue. And we have a lot of great rewards planned out and everything. And that's going to be going live on April 2nd. If you want more information on that, make sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
Talk about the comic. You got to say what the name of the company is.
The name of our company is Grey Bear Comics.
How did you come up with that name?
So my video production company's logo has a bear.
Yeah.
And his side project company, whatever he does, is called Grey Matter. And we literally just mushed the two things together. And there we go.
It's not a super exciting story.
It's not an exciting story, but the logo looks badass.
Yes. And it came to me in a fever dream. Wait a minute. And we just put our companies together.
We have a lot of great people working on the book, too. We found this amazing artist from Brazil named Samir Samal. He's so much talented. He's so, so talented.
If I could tell you how fortunate we are, there is no words for me to tell you how fortunate we are to have him on our team, because he came to us. We didn't find him.
He was like, I know you were going through a process of trying to find a good artist, and you had a bunch of people come to you, or you went to a lot of people.
We had almost 150 people reach out to us.
So he's like the last guy, right?
He was one of the very last people that reached out.
We had already had
the decision meeting. We'd already talked about, okay, there's these three guys that we're considering. We're going to reach out to them to do test pages. And then Samir's stuff came in.
Last minute.
One of the guys that we were talking to was like, I refuse to do test pages. Either you like my stuff or you don't. And we were like, okay, well, either way, that person's going to be hard to work with, so we're not going to bother with him.
Goodbye.
So George was like, well, since we dropped this other guy, let's at least give Samir a chance. Like, I really like his stuff. And I said, okay. So then we reached out to Samir, and Samir was like, yeah, sure, test page, whatever. The other two guys sent us pretty high-quality work, but it wasn't exactly what we asked for.
Yeah, it wasn't like the what we were looking for. I think that's probably the best way.
That's probably the best way to say it. And it took them almost a week to do it. Samir sent us his test page in a day, and it's an almost perfect action scene. And it's a very hard to draw action scene. It's like a truck skidding out onto ice.
Yeah, I saw that.
It looks good.
He did a way better version than what I had hit in my head.
Absolutely, me too. Everything I've seen from him, I'm super impressed with. So, like I said, we have a great artist. We're currently looking for our colorist, but we should have somebody by the end of the week.
Yeah, sure. We're coming close on that.
We've almost narrowed that down. And then it's just a matter of getting it printed up and everything. We have a variant cover artist. We have three different people working on it. We have a variant cover coming for the Kickstarter from Devin Kraft.
Yep.
We have one coming from James Linares, who did your Metal Geeks Hellboy.
He's very cool.
He's a very cool guy. And then we have another one coming from the guy who does the comic book for my show, the Horseman's comic, Chris Ryder.
Oh, cool.
So three different variant covers that are also
going to be available. And then Samir is also going to do his cover.
And then Samir is going to do the main cover. But we're going to have those three variant covers as prints that people can get as rewards for the Kickstarter. So a lot of cool stuff coming.
Yeah. Just and then you get to hear us talk about it, because we're going to do like a companion piece podcast for...
What's a podcast?
It's one of these things where people talk in a mic.
Kevin, lots of dick and fart jokes.
Yeah, Kevin Smith did at one point in time. I think he was pretty popular about it.
Doesn't sound very interesting to me.
Oh, okay. I can't help you there.
But anyways, our book is called Speak No Evil. You can find us on Facebook. The page is Grey Bear Comics. That's G-R-A-Y.
Yes.
Not E-Y. We're not some old gay dude. So just so people are aware.
Why is it going to be old and gay?
Because
gray implies bear, gray hair, and bears are like fat gay dudes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when we first mentioned that to James, who did our logo, the first logo we got was a giant bear in like S&M outfit. I thought it was hilarious, but we obviously couldn't.
James Linares did your.
He did our logo. Okay. Yeah, our logo is actually really cool.
Makes sense.
Bear with crossed out eyes and like his skull's been pulled open and his brains are showing. It's pretty sweet.
It is awesome.
It's pretty S&M too.
Yeah, we came up with a concept for that. He just drew it.
Mm-hmm.
He did a really good job.
Very cool.
Yeah, so...
And there you have it. That's, in a nutshell, that's what our comic is about.
In a nutshell?
People can't physically see you. This is a podcast.
Yes.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah.
It's just audio, right?
They can't tell that you're miming being in a nutshell.
Then it's not worth it then. So how soon are you going to be able to have the first issue out?
Well, we have a soft goal for June. Okay. We have a harder goal if that's not met for early July.
You think you'll have it done maybe before Comic Palooza?
That's the goal.
Yes, that's why we have a soft goal for June.
Our artist, Samir, he says he can do 3 pages a week. So far, he's been keeping that pace.
He's from what? Brazil, right?
Brazil. Yes. We have colorists who should be able to do 2 to 4 pages a week. We already have our letter lined up, Ben Krieger. So I'm imagining he'll be able to do at least that many.
And Meredith, who's doing the editing, has done a terrific job. She gave some really good suggestions.
A lot of good people on the team. So I think it's very possible that we can get the whole thing done by early June.
And that's the plan. And if we do, we will hopefully have something to show and something to sell.
Comic Palooza. Yeah. That's the plan.
You're going to get a booth?
Well, it kind of depends. It'll be short notice because we don't know if the whole book's going to be ready or not. If it is, possibly, or maybe we'll try to split a booth with somebody that we know. If not, I mean, we do have two of the artists that will be in Artist Alley. We'll have variant covers for the book, so we might have them.
Might just have it just display at their booth or something like that.
Yeah, might have a little display at their table.
That's cool. I'm proud of you guys.
I couldn't be more prouder than both of us, actually. But if it wasn't for Justin, this shit probably would never happen, to be honest with you. This would just been a notebook idea that's sitting in my office.
George is being modest. Like I'm the kind of person who, when I commit to a project, I get it done. But I'm also the kind of person that has a hard time staying on focus, and I do tend to let my thoughts wander sometimes. So George is very good at keeping me on track and like not letting me fall into my writer's block habits or anything like that. Like he keeps me writing, and we can always go back and fix things if it's not perfect the first time.
Plus, it helps we already mapped out the story.
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking forward to actually get an issue in my hand and read it.
I'm more excited just to see the daily art that we get from some
mayor. I am too.
I get giddy every time I see a page when he emails us like, oh, here it is, guys. Or here you go, bro. That's what he really says.
You say bros a lot?
Well,
is he in Broforce?
It's not his first. English is not his first language. At least I don't
but
know.
I think a lot of people from, he's from Brazil, right? A lot of people from South America say bro a lot.
Really?
Yeah, they do. What's up, bro?
Sure. I can make that assumption. Why not?
Let's do it.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
I love Samir right now. And
so do you have, I know you were talking about this one series. Do you have ideas for?
Actually,
we have ideas for a lot of series.
Talked about it, 2 weeks ago about the next comic after this, but the reason why we're not going to jump into anything too fast, too quickly, because we still got a whole story to tell with Speak No Evil, with 20 good issues. I think it's a whole arc. It's definitely at its heart. It's about a story about brothers growing up, learning to deal with each other. It's about loss. It's about
seen a lot of horrific shit.
Yeah. And they're also, since they're children, they get to have fun.
They're very juvenile.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are some other great characters. There is a female character that I don't want to give away just yet, but she's probably like one of my favorites.
Isn't there a character based after me?
There is. In issue two, there's a...
That's the best character right there.
You know, you're not far from it. He is pretty fun.
Yeah. Got his own pub and everything.
Dave's in there, too.
Dave's in there. Actually, yeah. My co-host Miguel is going to make an amazing appearance in issue 4 or 5.
Yeah.
As a horse demon.
I was about to say, hey, be a horse, man. Come on.
We have a lot of great stuff planned for the book, and I'm really happy to be executing it, and I can't wait to see what the final product looks like. But George and I are a really good team. I'm amazed at how fast we're getting this done. I mean, I've known a lot of people, and I've interviewed a lot of people that are writing comics for the first time or doing their first Kickstarter or whatever. And some of those guys, it takes them a year or 2 years to get their first comic fully published in their hands. And if you really think about it, George and I started this in late January.
Yeah.
And we're going to have the whole thing done by June. So 5 months, complete turnaround time to get a full issue done.
And you guys work full time too. And
yes, we have a day job.
You've read it. Would you say that it's a pretty good story?
Yeah, it's fun.
You can be honest. You don't have to be friendly to us.
I feel like it's great. I really do. Like I'm not the kind of person who toots my own horn. I'm usually the first very comment? Modest about my stuff. But like between George and I think we've come up with something.
What was the first comment I made to you?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm sure it was something sarcastic, but I can't remember what it was.
Wasn't sarcastic. I said it reminded me of what Disney is doing with their Disney Kingdom series, but a little bit more adult-like.
Read any of those.
It has especially the, not the Haunted Mansion series that just came out. Well, we'll get to that, but the one that was based on the Haunted Mansion, it has that whimsy to it, but it's still a little bit scary at the same time. That's what I got out of it. It's a good compliment, man.
Yeah.
Reminds you of the Haunted Mansion?
Yeah,
that's a great compliment. Other people who've read it told me like it reminds them of like Ghostbusters, and it reminds them of...
we're going to get there, too.
Of don't Evil Dead. Worry. No. Well, there's a reason why it reminds you of those things, because Justin and I are... we don't hide the fact that we are fans of these popular pop culture icon of movies.
Of course, it's going to influence your writing style.
And there's a lot of homages in the book, both issue one and issue two.
It's exactly
two of those
what it
things.
Is.
But they're not... They're not stealing. They're not exactly like those things because we make them our own, and we make them funny because of the dialogue between.
There's a cabin in the woods. So
there's a cabin in the woods.
Yeah, but how many fucking movies have a cabin in the woods?
Two.
I can probably name more than two.
Evil Dead and Cabin in the Woods. Because it's in the title. Come on.
All right.
Cabin Fever.
Cabin Fever. Oh shit.
Cabin Fever 2
and 3.
There was a third movie.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Actually, no, it wasn't a third one. It was a remake.
The cabin's a very small part of our story.
Yeah, it really is.
Not something that's going to be revisited but one time. And it's an upscale cabin. It's not like the other ones. No. The other ones are all rundown shacks.
Yeah. It's owned by a very prominent inventor of the 30s.
Yeah.
Inventor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and what's cool about it is we take like actual like... historical information, and we skew the fuck out of it a lot.
So I know you have famous people that from history in some of the characters. We're not going to give it away now, but do you have plans for anybody else?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yes.
There will be a couple of other important historical people showing up in the book. Much later down the line.
Yeah.
Mark Twain?
No, probably not.
Abe Lincoln?
Was he around that time in New York?
Well, you can flashback further.
People that run in the same circles as our main two historical figures would be the people we consider putting in the book. We're not going to go out on a limb and like introduce the voice of the president or anything crazy like that. But
and they save Abe Lincoln.
Other inventors.
I knew it.
Or other people that are into the occult could certainly make an appearance.
Who was the president in 1930?
See, that's the other thing, too.
Like, I don't know.
George and I
Google's really, our best friend.
Really don't know shit about history.
Google is our best friend.
So we're watching a lot of like movies set in that time period.
Speaking of, the History Channel right now has some awesome new shows. If you haven't seen them, they have a new show with Dan Harmon. You know who he is, right?
Yes.
Okay. What's that show called, Kim? Voice from the Other Room? I don't remember. It's not the name of it. But it's a skewed version of history, like the episode we watched the other day.
So it was like Drunken History?
It's not Drunken History. So what he did, he materializes people from the dead. And it's always famous.
And this is on the History Channel.
Yes. It's the craziest fucking thing you've ever seen.
I like Dan Harmon's stuff. So
yeah, me too.
Yeah, what's it called? Great Mind was Dan Harmon.
I might have to check this out.
Sure. I like pretty much everything I've seen. Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty is the best thing he's ever done.
Yeah. Well, Rick and Morty is going to... They said third season's coming sooner than you think, and it's going to be a longer season.
Yeah, the end of the 2016.
Yeah.
You ever listen to Harmontown?
Yes.
I don't listen to the podcast, but I watched
You've seen the documentary?
I haven't seen the documentary.
It's on Netflix. It's really good.
Let's check it out.
Some of the guys from the documentary, like the guy, the D&D guy, the Dungeon Master, he's in the movie. Starburns. In that show. That's not Starburns.
It's not.
Starburns is Dino.
Dino guy. He's the Greek guy.
Yeah, from Community.
Stepanopoulos.
Yeah.
Well, he's really Greek.
He's the guy who wrote Moral Oral, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's also like the lead animator for Animalisa, the new Philip Kaufman movie.
Interesting.
Really?
Yeah. Or he was like, his team was like the lead animators.
All those guys are connected.
So you can go, you can Google it. You can actually watch the first episode live on the internet. In the first episode, the has Jack Black. So who is he?
Jack Black plays
Beethoven.
I was gonna say George Washington, but okay.
Jack Black is Beethoven.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Schnarf likes that too.
And there's also the second part to the show called The Crossroads of History. So they take famous scenes from history and tell you the story you haven't seen. Like the episode that we saw had two of the character actors from The Office.
Rain Wilson or something like that?
No, it wasn't Rain Wilson. It was the bigger heavyset guy. Do you remember his name?
Kevin.
He was a cop that was scheduled. He was on break from watching Abe Lincoln. He was his protective duty that night. He goes to the bar next door and you know what happens.
I can see that.
That's actually kind of funny.
It is really
he's
funny.
He always
dude.
Played so stupid. He's like, well, I don't know what happened.
It wasn't me.
I was thirsty, so I came next door to get a drink.
It's pretty much what it is. And he met a guy that his last name was Booth, John nice. Wilkes Booth. And all these girls come up to him. He's like, oh, we love your brother and all this. Yeah. So you get a little bit of knowledge why that happened.
Why you get to laugh.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what we're doing, right? We're educating people a little bit.
Yeah, it is a hilarious show.
Are we?
No. And Craig Ferguson, not even a little bit, are we?
we're using the
we use
actual persona of these people and then putting them into our strange situations. But yeah. I don't think that we're actually trying to make things 100% historically accurate. We're just trying to make the time period well represented, like the clothing that people wear.
Except one of them is a racist. In real life.
Well, yeah.
And we totally play that up in our book.
Well, not in the first issue.
No, not in the first issue.
The other show that we watched is Craig Ferguson. And he has a new sort of like talk show type of deal where it's pretty damn funny too.
Craig Ferguson's back on TV?
He's on History Channel.
That's all I care about.
Yeah, exactly right. He loves those really high angled shots and he comes like right up to the camera. It's
that
really
was always
cool.
His thing.
Yeah.
Talking right into the camera.
Is the robot dude back?
No. Different type of show. He'll have like three celebrities on and it's sort of like a this or that. They have to go through and it's interesting.
Okay.
It's History Channel, man.
History Channel. Vikings 2 is on History Channel.
Oh yeah, that's right. Let's talk about the Haunted Mansion comic that we haven't read yet. That I picked up like three issues of today.
I bought a copy.
You got all the variants as well.
There's still one more out there.
Oh.
I haven't read it yet.
I haven't read it yet either. I'm looking forward to it.
Scotty Young's my favorite cover.
I know that Josh Williamson is writing it, and I'm a huge fan of Josh Williamson and kind of a friend of his. So.
I know you are. You need to get him on the show.
that's pretty cool. I read just about everything he puts out. So I'm not nearly as big a Disney nut as you. I think I've talked about that before. But
I'm definitely a Haunted Mansion nut.
I do like his writing a lot.
I'm looking forward to reading this. I'm going to read this tonight, actually. Definitely.
So is it about Haunted Mansion and like the backstory of Haunted Mansion?
I think it's supposed to be the story of the ghosts and how they ended up stuck there.
Or is it like in taking place in modern day? How does this work? Because I thought the Haunted Mansion thing was like a story in the past.
It is. It's so I listened to him on the Doom Buggies podcast recently. They had an interview with Josh Williamson, and basically he's not telling the story exactly. He's giving a little bit of leeway to, you know, make the story a little bit more in depth. So he's able to pick characters, certain characters from the attraction and give a little bit of history and like, you know, depth to these characters that you never would have thought of before.
I haven't read it, but I just flipped through it. It looks like a kid breaks into the Haunted Mansion to steal something and encounters ghosts that he wasn't expecting. Mm-hmm. And then more and more ghosts keep showing up. And then he kind of gets cornered and they say, "We've been dying to have you." And that's kind of how it ends.
Nice.
So
there you go.
Spoiler alert.
He's going to end up being one of the new ghosts or something.
It's going to be the hat box.
There's 999 ghosts. There's always room for one more.
Is that a song or something I say in the... I only read the thing once. Give me a break, man.
Sorry. I'm looking at the very back page. There's another variant from Brian Crosby, who's a Disney Imagineer.
You said Bill Cosby?
But the looks like there's a Disney Parks variant by Mark Davis. Mark Davis was one of the original artists that designed the attraction. And there's also a Books a Million variant with the Hatbox Ghost on it.
Cool.
I might have to go to Books a Million soon.
The only Books a Million I know of is in Katy.
Yeah, Katy Mills Mall, right? Rules.
Yeah.
If I go there, I'll pick one up for you.
You're closer there to there than I am.
I hardly ever go there, but I mean, if I decide to go one day, and I'll take a look.
The comic shop there closed, so I don't really have a reason to go ever.
That weird little comic shop?
Yeah.
It was like a weird comic
everything
store.
Everything was like from the 90s?
Well, everything was extremely overpriced, which probably was their undoing, but it was still nice to have, because sometimes they'd have variants and stuff for way cheaper, because they didn't know what they had.
Yeah, I used to go to FYE in there all the time. That's the last time I've been in the mall is when they closed. Yeah. The Fui. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to reading this.
Yeah, looks cool.
We'll be doing a more in-depth discussion on Comical. Later this week.
On the Haunted Mansion?
It'll probably be my pick of the week just because it's something out of the norm for me to pick up.
You haven't even read it yet.
No.
I know you're a fan of Josh Williamson, so.
Well, just because, like, it's Disney, which, like, I'm not a huge Disney fan.
Right.
I mean, I know you are. I know Dave is, but, It's not something that I would traditionally pick up.
What was that other one that they had that looked pretty cool? It was like Seekers of Tomorrow. Secrets or something like that? Or I can't remember the name.
Secrets of the Weird?
Yeah, there you go. Secrets of the Weird.
Which, that's sort of a Haunted Mansion-based story, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wanted to read that. It always looked cool every time I go to the...
I have the graphic novel if you want to borrow it.
Sure.
It's basically Secrets of the Weird. It's the... when they were designing the Haunted Mansion... they originally designed it as a walkthrough attraction, and at the very end of it, they're going to have sort of a Museum of the Weird type of, you know, attraction that connected to it. And they hired, you know, people to work on it. They hired a guy named Rolly Crump, who's a very famous Disney Imagineer, who actually met a couple years ago at D23, and I got a book autographed by him. He was snuck in. He wasn't part of the official lineup. He was snuck in by another Disney, like, website group, which is really cool. But
those rebels,
exactly. They were apparently he's had a falling out with the Disney company. You know what I mean?
No, I see. But yeah, once you're banned from Disney, it's like fuck
so. I never thought there would actually be an official Haunted Mansion story. You know, speaking of being banned from Disney, remember we did the episode about the Dark Side of Disney documentary we're working on.
I now remember that. Yes, now because you told me the title.
Philip Swift, which is the director of the documentary, is coming to Comicpalooza this year. He's going to be showing the movie and doing a Q&A about it. And he's coming on to our live podcast, which I guess we could announce. Don't have a date or time yet, but we're working on that.
I did not know these things. These are awesome to hear.
They are awesome to hear, right?
Yeah.
He's looking forward to it, man. So.
Cool.
I have not seen that movie. I should probably watch it.
It comes out on DVD next month and like VOD and all that kind of stuff. So, but he's
just one more thing to watch.
I know, yes. Right?
He's done a couple of
I like watching movies. So it's
premieres at different shows and conventions and things like that, and it's done really, really well. I'm looking forward to it.
Word.
A lot of words because of the movie.
Word up.
Word up. Let's talk about the subject of Comicpalooza. Let's who do we just announce this week?
That's Fear Factory.
Fear Factory. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
That's pretty fucking cool.
Dino and
Burton.
The two main guys from the band, the legendary core group of the band, even though Dino was out of the band for a while. But
I'm just going to pretend like I've never heard of Fear Factory and be like, dude, Assassino. Talk about Assassino.
Yes. Talk about Ascensions of the Ascension Watchers.
Of the Watchers. Yeah. It's so bad. I don't want to talk about it.
Don't say that to him.
No, if I talk to Burton, I'll probably be like, hey, man, I went to college with your brother.
That's right. You did. You mentioned that story before.
Yeah.
That's weird. Yeah. I'm sure they'll do an interview, so.
Probably. Like, I'd love to talk to him. Like, I've been a Fear Factory fan for a really long time. Actually, one of the bands that was key in my progression into heavier music. Like, I've always been a metal fan, but Fear Factory is, like, a little bit heavier than what I was listening to when I was into mainstream stuff.
Yeah.
And it's, like, the perfect band to get you from point A to point B.
It's that segue drug that...
It really is.
Man.
You're the marijuana of metal.
There you go. Hey, Dare declare them no longer a gateway drug.
No.
Well, Dare's wrong.
Well, just say no. Okay. I'm just D-Manufacture, top 5 album for me of all time. I love that album. And they're playing here with the Scout Bar on 26th of March.
With Soilwork.
Not with Soilwork. Yeah, I'm not missing that show.
It's a fucking great show.
They're playing D-Manufacture in its entirety.
I know.
I'm fucking stoked.
I love D-Manufacture, but I think Obsolete is the one that really like sucked
Obsolete
me into
is
them.
Great too.
I mean, that was the one that was out when I became a big fan. Okay. So I think that it means more to me than D-Manufacture.
D-Manufacture for me.
But, man, those two albums are both so good.
Some of the early stuff is sort of hard to get through, though.
Actually, like, I really developed a love for, like, Soul of a New Machine and, like, the older stuff. Because
he was still trying to find his vocal style then, though.
Right. But, I mean, stuff like Concrete,
yeah,
so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
George is like, huh?
No, I listened to Fear Factory in high school.
Okay. In high school.
Yeah. That's all I remember.
But that is super cool that we're getting them. And we announced our best friend again, Ming Chen, is coming back to Comicpalooza.
What?
It's always fun to see him.
And I've been talking to him a little bit.
Is he bringing anyone else with him? Or is just
we don't know yet.
Oh, okay.
Nobody knows. But he is going to be involved in the Comicpalooza podcast program. To what extent, I don't know yet. But I guess we can announce this. He's agreed to come on our podcasting panel again.
Cool. Right.
Yeah, this year we're tackling a brand new subject.
Brand new subject. We're taking it to an advanced level. So we're basically going to talk about the business of podcasting, how to make money, how to make a career out of it, how to...
How do you make a career out of podcasting? Be famous before you start.
That helps.
That does really fucking help.
Or become famous while you're doing a podcast.
Right, exactly. Or be
Marin
a comedian.
Yeah, but you can't really become famous from podcasting.
No.
Or not famous enough to support yourself financially.
I don't know, that lady that did Serial is like very popular, known now.
Yeah, but a totally different type of show, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but she's like well-regarded investigative reporting now, so...
Sure.
You can use podcasting to enhance your other careers, which is what one of our guests is going to talk about.
Exactly right.
Yeah, that's kind of what Serial led to for her.
But is she was like she has like a CBS.
She got some kind of job with a major.
Yeah, something.
Company. Oh yeah,
that's pretty crazy, man.
Yeah, like the people that do 48 Hour Mystery.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think she's like one of their top investigators or something like that.
Makes sense. I don't know. There's a lot of great guests coming to Comic Blues this year. Can't wait to actually share some of that shit. You know what I mean?
And really, I mean, you can meet Grey Bear Comics, so why else would you not want to come?
Yeah.
Why the fuck not?
Get to hang out with us.
Yeah.
Is that you trying to get people to go or stay away?
George will give you a wet willy.
Whoop, whoop.
He'll pull your underwear up right above your head. He won't use his penis.
I will if they want me to. I mean, I'm not a...
No autographs with your penis, please.
That's what we call an atomic wet willy.
Takes a while for the ink to come out, but it's worth it.
Yeah, it totally is.
No, it's not.
Bring your own socks.
Well, Comic Palooza, bring your own socks. This is why we don't have more sponsors. Is that an
official slogan?
No, not official sponsor. But you know who is an official sponsor, right?
Under Armour.
No.
Oh, we were going with sports, so I was guessing.
Who is an official sponsor?
Tweak Audio?
Metal
there Geeks? You go.
Oh. Comic Palooza?
No, this is your podcast.
Oh, I was going
with that makes
Comic
more sense.
Yeah, I was like, Comic Palooza? Is it Metal Geeks? Like, I know we do a lot of sponsorship for them.
Want to talk about the sponsors now?
And sure.
Be nice to them this time, not say dick or fart jokes during the spiel.
When have we ever done that?
Every time.
Well, I was hoping you would play along and not, but sure. So, sure. Tweaked Audio.
Yes, Tweaked Audio.
Yes.
I have my new pair.
Get your audio tweaked, but in a good way.
Yeah. Some people like tweaking, you don't know.
Yeah, it's true. Or twerking.
Not twerking.
Not twerking. Yeah. We don't
you
want
can't
you,
twerk your nipple, but you can tweak it.
I guess if you try hard enough, you might be able to twerk,
twerk
it.
A nipple.
Yeah, I could,
okay, wait
I
a minute. We just said we weren't going to do this, but...
I'm pretty sure I could twerk one.
I said this on the last episode.
There's got to be a market for that somewhere.
Twerk nipples.
Twerking nipples.
Nippletwerk.com.
That's got to be a website.
And it's just a not like it's like one of those flash modules that just keeps going over and over
does
again.
This over and over again.
Yeah, it's like meat spin, but it's nipples.
Instead of the penis doing the fucking helicopter move.
No, nippletwerk.com. Somebody should jump on that and buy
make that.
That
happen, man.
Yeah, let's make that happen
should get
tonight.
Register that domain right now.
Let's go to godaddy.com.
That could be your.
It's a new sponsor. Yeah, no. That's
that could
not,
be your
that
could
new.
Be your website address for your comic company.
Godaddy.com.
No, nippletwerk.com.
That's for the next one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, our next comic is a homoerotic thing.
Makes sense then. No, seriously, if you are looking for a great pair of headphones, I use mine every morning when I go running. I love
did
them.
Did you get your new ones in?
I did get my new ones. I got them like the same week, man.
Nice.
I was jonesing for them because I have a pair of headphones here that I bought.
The Skullcandy ones?
They're Skullcandy. Yeah, they are Skullcandy, I believe. They're a little bit cheaper brand. But they're not comfortable. After I started wearing my Tweaked Audios in my ears, these are not comfortable anymore. So they're just around for emergencies, I guess.
Mm.
But I definitely recommend you get a pair. I don't know where to go.
Yeah, tweakedaudio.com.
Yeah.
And if you type in the code METALGEEKS, you'll get 33% off, free shipping, and a lifetime guarantee.
Lifetime guarantee?
Lifetime.
Free shipping anywhere worldwide.
Worldwide.
Even to Brazil.
Brazil. So we'll get some for Samir.
Right. You can send a pair to your artist.
Yeah.
Sure.
Fuck you very much for that.
So thanks for buying. If you guys are out there, thanks for buying any headphones through us. Because, you know, number one, you're helping us.
And you're getting awesome headphones.
You get a great pair of headphones. You really do. The pair I have actually has the iOS, you know, the
line in
built into it. Very worthwhile because those audio on cell phones suck. Holding it to your head.
You don't want brain cancer.
You don't want brain cancer. You want nut cancer, but not brain cancer.
Or any cancer.
No, not really.
Nut cancer would probably be worse than brain cancer.
I don't know. Brain cancer is pretty fucking bad. I've seen it firsthand.
You can remove a nut and still live.
That's true. You can't remove a brain and still live.
Unless
you got two brains. I do have a brain in my penis. I'm just kidding, guys. I really
don't think you do.
Well, I might.
I don't think any guy that's the wrong brain to think with.
Depends entirely on the situation.
So moving away from a somber
penises.
Cancer talk, let's talk about some other stuff.
I thought we're still talking about penises. I'm sorry.
I do have one thing I want to mention. We talked about on the last episode, my good friend Bill Bates, who was a legendary metal DJ here in Houston. We just put an episode of MSRcast out a couple days ago where I pulled the original intro from the show from the first like 5 years, which was Bill doing it.
Wow.
Which is really cool.
That is cool.
And I had Herman, who is now the DJ that's taken over on Sweet Nightmares, come over and we did a special tribute to Bill. And we talked about the show that's coming up. If you're here in the Houston area and you know who Bill is and you want to come pay tribute, March 20th at the Scout Bar, starting at 1 p.m., we're having a full-day event. We're not going to turn anybody away, but we do recommend either it's $20 to get in and you get a free raffle ticket, or if you really want to pay like $5 to get in, we'll let you in. We don't want anybody to be turned away from paying tribute to Bill. We're going to have auction stuff all day, raffle stuff. I mean, there's so much stuff we have to give away. We have an autographed guitar from Ace Frehley. We have an autograph, or actually bass guitar that was donated from the personal collection of Alpo from Dead Horse, which is super exciting. That was awesome, man. I got to go to the drummer's house over the weekend and see his like Dead Horse collection on his walls. Pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
It was a band I was really into in high school and keep on. I mean, they're super popular now in Houston, man. And we were talking about it on MSRcast. Like, you don't know who they are because you don't know real metal. So,
oh, sorry.
George Hates Metal, right?
Yeah, George Hates Metal. We're talking about the five. We're talking about.
Hate you guys.
Like the band.
That's all there is to it.
It's because we're metal.
The major bands that have made it big out of Houston. Can you name any of them? I mean, like the five, the first five that come to your mind, the first big five bands. You can't even think of one, can you?
No.
Can you?
Oceans of Slumber, does
that count?
They
made it really big, or the...
I would include Oceans of Slumber on that list because they are making it huge right now.
I saw a commercial of their album on TV.
What?
Yeah.
Where?
On TV.
For Oceans of Slumber.
Yes. It says like available at FYE.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It was either that or YouTube, one or the other. It's
probably YouTube.
But I saw it.
YouTube, TV, same difference now.
Yeah.
What about King's X? Would you put King's X in that?
Yeah, I'd put King's X up there.
I definitely put Dead Horse in there.
I'm not familiar with them. I think they were a little before my metal days.
See, he doesn't even know who they are.
Well, I think it was a little before my metal days.
Hellstar?
Yeah.
And we mentioned Oceans of Slumber?
Yeah.
Who else big from Houston has really made it?
My balls.
Well, Burton. That's a big... Burton was
Burns from. A Houstonian from Fear Factory. That's true.
That was a good joke, guys. Fuck you guys.
No, it wasn't.
You know the story of how they got together, right?
His balls?
No. Fear Factory.
No, I don't.
Dino heard Burton singing in the shower one day, stood outside the door waiting for him to come out, and then coerced him into singing for the band.
Why was he hanging outside the shower?
Because he heard the guy singing in there, and he's like, who the fuck is this guy? I gotta meet him.
What shower was he just hanging outside of?
They were like in a dorm somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was like, it's no, it's just Burton's house, you know. He was like stealing shit. Like, this guy can sing. I'm gonna get him in my band and I'll put this shit back. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So going back to the show, come out to the Scout Bar. It starts at 1 o'clock, and I'm gonna go through the list of bands that are playing, because a lot of these bands were really big supporters of Bill, and vice versa. Bill supported a lot of these bands. So Serpientes de Fuego, I said that pretty good, right? Blood of an Outlaw, Space Rhino, Aegis, Brutally Mutilated, Desecrate the Face, Spectral Manifest, which actually features the ex-co-host of MSRcast, Josh, or Papa Josh, as he was known back in the day, Immortal Remains, The Scourge, and just announced a couple days ago, special headliners is going to be Oceans of Slumber and James Rivera's Metal Extravaganza, which is their cover band where they can play everything from Iron Maiden to Saxon to Judas Priest to Sabbath, everything. And they're going to. He's promised a lot of songs that were a lot of bands that were Bill's favorites. So he's going to play some Hellstar shit as well. And special surprise ending song. It's going to be a big jam session. So
cool.
It's a celebration of his life. We've already had the funeral. We had the viewing and all that stuff. That was a sad day, you know. This is a celebration of life and metal, and so it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of work, but a lot of fun.
Hopefully there's a good turnout.
I think there will be. He had a lot of fans and a lot of friends here, so
cool.
Good.
And it's a Scout Bar, so big props to them for giving us this day to actually have this show for Bill.
Right.
And it's a little far out for some people, but it's definitely a cool club. Very, very much worth it. To where Fear Factory's playing like 6 days later, so.
Awesome.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm not looking at you like
you are. You're like, I don't fucking. That's that look.
That is not that look.
George Hates Metal. That's the look.
Oh. Yeah, screw you guys.
Let's talk about a couple topics before we go.
Sure.
Let's talk about a new trailer that just came out. You know what I'm talking about?
Does it rhyme with schmushters?
It does.
Were you even trying on that one? It's smushmusters. Mamortian.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Ghostbusters trailer.
Somebody get me the real Ghostbusters.
Oh, hell no. That's all I can really remember from the trailer.
I will preface it and say it. I did not hate it. I'm actually looking forward to this movie now.
There's some cool moments in the trailer. I haven't seen the international one.
Yeah, the international one's a little bit better.
Are there cool moments in the trailer?
Yes, there are.
There's some cool
moments.
There's
a lot of bastardized moments in the trailer.
Yeah. Sure, there's a lot of that too.
It's not a reboot. It's a continuation.
No,
it's a reboot.
It's a full reboot.
I don't think it's a reboot.
No, it is. In a press release the day of the trailer, he says it's a whole new story, no relation to the old ones.
Except that the other Ghostbusters, the originals, will have a cameo. Not as the Ghostbusters, but as themselves.
Yeah, just
the ones
themselves.
That are alive.
Right. Excluding I don't know.
Harold Ramis.
Maybe they'll have a Harold Ramis ghost.
Probably. More likely, he'll be a ghost in the background. Probably.
That'd be a fucking great tribute to him, you know?
Yeah, could be.
Sure.
Where your negativity at? I know you guys fucking hate this movie.
I don't hate the movie.
I don't like Paul Feig's movie or Feig's,
you know,
whatever.
I have grown to become a fan of some of the people that are involved in the movie. Like, I really like Leslie Jones. I've seen her cameo in a lot of stuff. I think she's actually really funny, and she does the loud, angry black woman stereotype kind of thing really well.
Yeah, she does.
I think Kristen Wiig pulls off disinterested but kind of funny really well. I've seen her do the same kind of role in a lot of movies. I mean, she's definitely like typecast as that, but she's good at it, so it works. I think that Kate McKinnon's pretty funny, too. Like,
I like her.
Don't have a problem with her at all. Melissa McCarthy can suck a bag of dicks. That bitch is not funny.
Tell me how you really feel.
I feel like she is a one-trick pony, terrible Chris Farley knockoff. Like she relies too much on being fat and being like, oh, I'm too fat to do stuff.
But
like,
she lost weight for
this
movie.
She's not fat anymore.
She lost weight, but she's still kind of bulky, and she's still like...
She's the big one of the group.
She's the big one of the group, and she's going to rely on like physical comedy.
With the exception of Leslie Jones.
Lots of people do that. Lots of fat comics do that kind of stuff, which, you know, it works. She's not that great at it. There's people that are better. The other thing is that her like verbal funniness is supposed to be loud and obnoxious. She screams about a lot of stuff, but there's no real like humor built into her screaming. She's just like, ah! Leslie Jones does that better. So you already have like an angry screaming woman in the movie that's going to do it better than Melissa McCarthy. I don't see a need for her. Like, it could have been anybody else. It should have been like some girl that doesn't fit very well. Like it should have been like, or not that doesn't fit very well, but it should have been like, I don't know.
Would you replace her with?
Emma Stone, maybe?
Mm.
That could have been fun.
Or a teenager of some sorts?
Yeah, like somebody that's just.
Or a younger person?
Wouldn't fit into that age bracket. Wouldn't fit into like I know Leslie Jones is supposed to be the outsider. She's like a subway worker who joins up with him.
Right.
It would have been cooler, I think, if it was like Leslie Jones is a middle class worker, like the other two. They're all super smart, and then like the other person, instead of always being the black person's the one on the outside, like why couldn't she be part of the main group and like somebody that's younger or much older?
Because they wanted to copy the formula as much as possible from the first one and beat the fuck out of it to death.
She's the Ernie Hudson in the movie.
I guess.
Yeah, that's what she is. Yeah. I don't feel like there's any real creativity behind this movie. I just feel like, oh, let's do by the numbers, beat for beat, the same movie, but a more modern take with women. It feels very, I don't know.
Gimmicky?
Yeah.
It
doesn't feel like they have a, like...
Well, plus Melissa McCarthy ruins every movie she's in. That's another thing. Like,
well, every Paul Feig movie that he's made, I think he's only made two, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not holding him accountable.
Yeah, I am.
I blame her.
I am, because I don't think any of his movies are all that great. Like, Bridesmaid was, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great.
There were some funny moments, but none of them had to do with Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, and then Spy is just utterly horrible.
I haven't watched Spy.
See, I've heard good things. Right? That was the movie people were using to defend her to me when I was having my rant online.
I watched
Jason Statham.
Yeah,
no. Jason Statham is Identity Theft.
No, Jason Statham's in Spy.
Or Bateman. Jason Bateman is Identity Theft, and I love Jason Bateman. I'm a huge Arrested Development fan. Like, I thought it was going to be a good movie, and he would save it even if it wasn't that good. But Jesus Christ, she ruined that movie. Like, it's unwatchable. Heat's about the same. Like, I like Sandra Bullock quite a bit.
I
unwatchable. Like, it's a burn it. Just
It's already called heat.
Just,
you don't have to
burn it.
Burn it to the ground, all of it.
Although
the, who's the, trying to force her down our throats?
Paul Feig. We're Feig.
I don't want her.
Paul, blame Paul Feig.
Okay, it's all his fault.
Too. It is his fault. He can't make a fucking decent.
She's better
movie.
Than her cousin.
Who?
Melissa McCarthy.
She has a cousin.
Yeah. Jenny McCarthy.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
They're actually that related. Explains a lot.
Dude, yeah, a I did bit. Not put that together. Yeah. Holy fuck.
They are related.
She
took her gerb.
Dirt to dirt.
I don't know, man. The international trailer still doesn't make me like any excited for it or anything like that. Although there were a couple of parts that I thought were kind of funny. In the international trailer, the Leslie Jones jumps out onto a crowd at a concert.
Yeah.
And she, like, no one catches her, and she falls flat on her back. And she's like, I don't know if it's a black thing or a ladies thing, but I'm pissed.
I'm like, mad as hell.
Yeah, I'm mad as hell is what she says.
See, I haven't even seen that, but I can imagine Leslie Jones doing that and it being very funny.
Yeah, yeah. It gave me a chuckle. Yeah, like,
imagine there. Melissa McCarthy doing that same thing. And, like, good, you dropped the bitch.
Wow. What about their, what's his name? Chris Hemsworth in it.
I don't know how to feel about that yet, because I don't know. I can't buy him as a comedic actor just yet, because that's what he's supposed to be. Yeah. He's supposed to be like the mixture of Rick Moranis / the secretary.
Right. Amy Potts.
Yeah, Amy Potts, thank you. Annie Potts.
What was her character's name?
Janine.
There you go. Thank you.
So
who's Sigourney Weaver in this movie?
There is no Sigourney Weaver. I don't think there's a male love interest.
You can't have
in the movie, except for maybe they're all like
swooning like over swooning Chris.
So,
over Chris.
Okay, so which character? We already know Leslie Jones is going to be Ernie Hudson,
right?
Who is Bill Murray?
That's not Melissa McCarthy, but the other one,
Kate McKinnon.
Kristen Wiig.
No, I think Kate McKinnon is.
Kate McKinnon's Egon.
Egon. That's what I was going to say.
Okay, so then Kristen Wiig is Bill Murray.
And
so that's not a one-to-one swap at
so
all.
Dan Aykroyd is
Dan Aykroyd is Melissa McCarthy. Yeah,
and that's like not even. That's not even a joke.
You know what I also think it is? It doesn't have any of the charm that the first Ghostbusters had. It doesn't have the charm, and it doesn't have the like. They don't look like they're enjoying themselves making this movie.
For serious, because you want to see the new Turtles movie, so
it has Rocksteady and Bebop
Rocksteady
and Krang.
And Bebop, man.
Rocksteady and Bebop and Krang. So
yeah, that's the thing. I can forgive a lot of stuff. Like, I will watch terrible movies if they have any sort of nostalgia for me whatsoever. But like, I will not give Melissa McCarthy another dollar.
I'll go see the new Ghostbusters if someone pays for my ticket.
Yeah, if somebody pays for my ticket, I'll go see it. Or if I see it for free somehow. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Then I'll watch it, but I will not be giving Melissa McCarthy another penny.
I will eat my words. If it turns out to be fucking hilarious and great, I will eat my fucking words now and say, that's a good fucking
movie.
What
we're going to do, we're going to print up a transcript of this episode, and you'll have to eat that paper.
Yeah, I will eat the fucking paper and shit it out later.
I do not believe that's going to happen.
It will not happen, because I won't enjoy it. I know I won't enjoy it.
There will be a few funny moments. I don't believe it's going to be a terrible movie. I will not give Melissa McCarthy money.
And then on top of that, like, Sony Pictures is so, like, Ghostbusters hard-on right now.
Yeah.
They're coming out with a guy version of Ghostbusters, very similar to this one. It's still, I don't know how.
Channing Tatum?
I don't know. I think
he's attached somehow.
They haven't announced that yet, but they're also announced a real Ghostbusters animated movie.
That could be cool, though.
That's the only thing I've kind of been excited about during this whole entire Ghostbuster craze.
Ecto Cooler's coming back.
And that, too.
The high-C Ecto Cooler, really?
Yeah. I'm more excited about that than anything.
Wow. Well, watch it, like, fucking kills you or something.
I had my Surge. Now I'm going to have my Ecto Cooler.
I don't know. It just doesn't feel, and like, I'm not convinced on the ghosts. They don't look so great.
I liked them. I thought they looked cool.
I thought they looked too Haunted Mansion-y.
The whole That's Uncle Sam, I liked it. The whole stretched out Uncle Sam guy walking by, I really hated that one. Like, in particular.
I don't remember that one.
Like, it's in the original trailer. He's as tall as a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, but he's like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, so who's going to be the Stay Puft? What's going to be the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in this one? It doesn't seem like they're going to have like a.
They're not going to show you everything in the trailer, hopefully.
No, but, I mean, I don't know.
So, what do you think about the Tim Burton announcement for
Beetlejuice 2?
Yeah.
Sure. Why not? Because everything needs sequels now.
It does. Not. But Tim Burton hasn't been on a roll.
Still waiting on my Citizen Kane 2. Where the fuck's that been, Orson Welles?
Yeah, he needs to get to fucking work.
I think he's dead, if I'm not mistaken.
Rosebud 2.
You know, we
Electric live, Boogaloo.
We live in a time where all of our favorite movies from back then are getting remade.
Well,
or
nothing is
sequels.
Nobody has an original idea anymore.
There are no real original ideas except in comics. Comics are the only
except for place. Speak No Evil. It's the most original idea you'll ever read.
Well, not just that, but you know, most original movies and TV series you see nowadays are plucked straight out of the comics world.
Yeah,
like
Outcast.
Comic creators are making
Walking Dead.
All kinds of interesting stuff.
Preacher.
Well, Preacher is announced. What about the Sandman movie that was supposed to come out with Joseph Gordon-Levitt set to produce it, or was he directing it? I don't know.
He was directing and producing.
Yeah.
And starring in it.
And starring, that's correct.
So what happened, from the article that I read, Warner Brothers gave the rights to the what imprint
their
of
subsidiary,
DC?
It's New
what
Line.
What DC imprint is that called?
Vertigo.
Vertigo. All the Vertigo stuff to New Line. And when New Line took it over, they said, hey, we don't want to use the guy that you used to write the script. We're going to hire somebody that did like Final Destination 5 or something.
I'm pretty sure there's more to that story than what we heard.
Well, there's probably more to it. That's what came out.
Yeah, so
Jordan,
that's what came
Joseph
out.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt said, nope, I'm out.
Well, Neil Gaiman had already kind of signed off on the script that yeah. Levitt had, and like he liked that version of his story on screen. And with these new people, it was like having to do everything all over again.
Yeah.
And
you think it's going to make it dead in the water now?
I don't know if it's going to make it dead in the water.
I'm pretty sure.
We're
if
probably
they,
gonna
if
get,
they really like the story, they'll greenline it.
We're probably
going to
get something closer to like Mirror Mask rather than Sandman.
Which is not all that bad.
It's not terrible, but it's not as good as it could have been.
So no. What do you think of Tango and Cash being cast into Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
What?
Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone are supposed to be in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
I knew Kurt Russell was Stallone's going to play.
Yeah, Stallone, yeah.
Who the fuck is Stallone going to play?
Here's my idea, and I'm stealing this from Kevin Smith's podcast from Hollywood Babylon this week. Makes sense. Groot's dad. Because the rumor is Kurt Russell is Star-Lord's dad, so he goes, yo, I'm Groot.
I am Groot. No, no. Groot is a singular entity. He's like a...
He is his own dad.
He's so rare. Like, there are no people that Groot's from. Groot is an enigma. He's like a one-of-a-kind creature. That's why the Collector wanted his body, because it's so unique.
Why do you have to make sense out of it?
He doesn't have a dad. It's not going to be Groot's dad. It's not going to be Rocket's dad either.
He's not a sapling or something?
No.
There's no
sapling
tree or something?
No.
Daddy?
No.
Daddy tree?
Or a spawn or a spore?
Yeah, right? Most likely, one of them is going to be another Elder of the Universe like the Collector was. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to see like Order and Chaos or Eternity or something like that, because we're going to see more of the cosmic entities show
right.
up. They have to establish those characters before they do Infinity War.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it won't make sense. Maybe he's going to be the gardener. Like that, I can certainly see that being kind of interesting and funny for Stallone to be the gardener. Yeah, because that's the first person that Thanos goes after to get his power stone. Or not power stone, but the reality stone or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that could be.
I can see that being who he's going to be in the movie.
Yeah. You know. And so what about, who is Kurt Russell? You think
he's playing
Star-Lord's
dad.
Is he
confirmed?
That's what I've heard.
Okay.
But the dad is not going to be Jason, King of Spartax.
Right, it's not, yeah.
Because they can't use Spartax for some stupid reason.
What I heard, he's going to be a Galaxy War criminal is what I heard.
Yeah. I think they may be doing something like some kind of weird mixture between Starjammers and Guardians.
Really?
Yeah.
I love the Starjammers.
I think that's probably what they're trying to do with the movie universe, which
makes
I can see working.
They can't really use too much of them because that's more X-Men.
Right, but I'm saying the concept of like the roaming pirates is like
whose dad
was. Like, yeah. I think that's really what they're going to do with that.
They're not going to go the whole prince story? Like he's a prince of a planet or whatever?
Because they can't use the Spartax.
Mm.
They could call him something different, though. They can call him whatever the fuck they want.
They could, but I don't think they're going to.
We'll see. I mean, it comes out pretty soon, right?
Like in the Marvel Cinema Universe, they can't call them mutants, but they have special abilities, whatever they call it.
Their powers.
Power.
Like, that kind of stuff I can let slide. I mean, even though I'm like a hardcore comic book fan, and I know the differences, and I know all the things that are wrong, I can still forgive all that stuff.
So what do you think about Fox?
I can't forgive shitty acting.
So Fox is dropping Gambit movie, and they're going full force ahead with Deadpool 2 and X-Force instead.
Really? So
Gambit's not dropped.
I've heard it's dropped.
It got pushed from its originally scheduled date, but it's not dropped.
Really?
They're still moving forward.
Yeah, it's because they did a lot of press with Channing Tatum.
It might be a little bit longer than it was originally planned for, but they're still moving forward with the movie.
Maybe they'll have to introduce him into another movie, then bring him into
plus, they got
to
give him time to grow his hair out.
It's true. It takes like 2 years.
They are doing Deadpool 2, and they are doing X-Force, though, and the writers for the script for Deadpool 1 are going to be involved in every single project that Deadpool has a hand in.
Exactly right.
Perfect.
I heard them, one of the guys, I don't know his name, he was on Hollywood Babylon just as a member of the audience, and they brought him up on stage and they talked about that. I can't remember, what did they do before? It was...
I can't remember. Something.
Something not in movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. we'll look that up and get back to you.
Yeah. Sure.
Sure.
Next episode.
But they did a great job with that character. I mean, I'm sure a lot of factual stuff was changed from Deadpool comics to the movie version.
Mm.
But the character was as true to the character as any representation we've seen so far.
Anything.
And I think that's more important than little tiny facts.
Well, you have to change stuff to fit a film audience, you know?
Yeah.
I can understand that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, after Deadpool came out, all these different people started coming forward and saying, this is what movie studios should take from Deadpool. This is what people should pay attention to.
Everything rated R.
Seems like everybody took that. Everybody was like, well, let's make a bunch of rated R movies. Batman vs. Superman needs to be rated R.
That's exactly what I said when that movie came out. I was like, fuck, everything's going to be rated R now.
But really,
except for Disney. They held true to the guns. They said they'll never make a rated R superhero movie.
Yeah. So the writers of Deadpool, it's Reese and Paul Wernick, and they did Zombieland.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. They wrote Zombieland. Did you know originally Zombieland was supposed to be a TV show?
Yeah. They made a pilot of it on Amazon or
no, something. They actually made a full-fledged show.
No, they made a pilot afterwards, and it sucked.
Yeah, it sucked horribly
bad. Yes, it did.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing they did something, right?
I think they did a great job representing Deadpool on screen, and I'm...
A lot of that.
Very happy. Ryan
would you like a really fucking obnoxiously huge Deadpool poster, movie poster?
Where
would you find one of those? In my living room. Yeah. So you have like what? How big is it? I don't even know.
It's too big.
72 inches by like 130
maybe
30 or 140 or something.
About as big as my dick.
No, it's not.
Goddamn, sir. That's a big sock.
That's one big sock. I have problem finding socks.
Not a mini poster.
No.
But speaking of the second Wachowski sibling.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear this story? They're now the Wachowski sisters.
Yes. They're both out as transgendered.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Is it, though?
They're living their life the way they want to. Why not?
I don't know. I kind of feel like he's catching on the train now.
Well,
he's like.
Apparently, she got outed early by some article or something.
The second one.
She wasn't ready yet or something. I don't know.
The second one doesn't really see herself as male or female, according to the article I read earlier.
Oh, no, really?
The Lana one?
She's more female than male, apparently. She's gender fluid.
What's that thing from Zoolander 2?
I didn't see Zoolander 2.
She's only publicly speaking about it because she wants people to forget about
gender
constraints of gender or whatever. Everybody's always pushing some kind of agenda. I mean.
Yeah, whatever. Hopefully they just make good movies. That's all I care about. Because Jupiter Ascending sucked.
It doesn't matter if you're a dude or you're a chick. You can be whatever you want to be. Just don't be like Melissa McCarthy. That's where you draw the line.
That's where he draws the line. And don't make Jupiter Ascending again. That was a shitty movie. Speed Racer was a much better film than Jupiter Ascending.
No,
and that's saying a lot.
Well, I didn't see Jupiter Ascending. I couldn't.
It didn't look good.
Just couldn't do it.
So I didn't see it either.
I saw it for free, so.
Did you buy the Blu-ray?
No, I watched it in theaters for free.
Okay. But you saw it in the theaters, though, so. You're part of the problem, sir.
I didn't pay for it.
It still matter.
Doesn't matter. Does it?
Yeah.
Okay. But I loved Cloud Atlas.
I like Cloud Atlas.
Cloud Atlas is an amazing piece of cinema.
So did you hear that the young Han Solo story movie, whatever they're calling them, or is coming out, is going to feature Chewbacca as well?
Yeah, it's going to talk about how they met.
How could it not?
I know.
You know, Marvel's doing a 5-issue Han Solo miniseries.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's going to take place in between New Hope and Empire.
Really?
Cool.
It's about a side adventure that him and Chewie go on.
Who's writing it?
I know it's being drawn by Mark Brooks. I think Lionel Yu's writing it, and Mark Brooks is drawing it.
Who's the writer?
Lionel Yu. I think that's right, but I'm not 100% okay. sure.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. So.
I gotta tell you, man, Marvel is knocking it out of the fucking park with their Star Wars series. Oh, yeah.
They're,
even the bad ones are good.
Yeah.
Like the Lando.
I was a little skeptical, too, because the Dark Horse Star Wars series that came out right before Marvel took over
was really good.
Was so good.
Yeah.
And I was really worried that Marvel was not going to be able to handle Star Wars the right way. But Jason Aaron, I think he's been in charge of most of it. Man, that guy, like, he's always been a good writer. But to manage as much as he's managing now and it to maintain that level of quality, I'm thoroughly impressed with him. Like, he's upper echelon of writers right now for sure.
I would definitely agree. I think he's done.
I like the Vader
win.
Series.
Vader series is really good.
Yeah.
Everything has been really good, man.
Who would have thought he had a killbot?
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's still Darth Vader, but they've humanized him a little bit more, you know?
What's the backstory? I mean, it's so good.
Yeah, it's just everything about those series really
Speaking
works.
Of which, did y'all see the Darth Maul fan film?
I have not yet. I saw the links of it.
It's pretty good. Like, the choreography, I mean, the acting isn't all that great, but the choreography is amazing. And, like, the locations they shot, wherever the fuck they shot that movie, top notch for a fan film.
I've seen a lot of people share it with me, but I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
It's like 10 minutes or 15 minutes. It's not bad.
So I have a few more metal things to talk about before we go, and then we're going to wrap it up and get out of here. Anthrax is doing really fucking well on Billboard.
Really?
Yes. They
finally.
Finally. I mean, well, here's.
I thought you were going to say Anthrax is a hell of a drug.
Well, it is. So, number one on Billboard's hard rock albums and number two on the top rock albums. And this is sad. Okay. It got there with only 34,000 copies sold of the album. 20 years ago, 15 years ago, that wouldn't even get you on the top 100. Seriously, it wouldn't.
Nope.
It just goes to show you nobody's buying CDs anymore.
I did. I bought it. And
well, that includes iTunes purchases and shit.
No, it doesn't. Online is separate. It's not really factored in quite correctly yet. But I listened to this album when I had the promo for like the few months before it came out. And I got to a point where I was over it for a while. I'm like, okay, I've heard it so much. But I bought the CD and it has not left my CD player.
Does it sound different?
No, it's just grown a new life for me. I just can't stop listening to it.
Sometimes
really
albums
good.
Do that.
Yeah, it really does. And that's a great album.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying it. I can't tell you enough.
I'm still listening to the Behemoth album from two years ago.
Did you see the video for Blood Red Wings or something like that?
That sounds right.
Oh my God, dude. It's...
I've seen the picture of like the dude in the skull mask, whatever, in the wings.
Yes, you have to watch this video before you go because it's fucking brutal. Really, it is.
Hey, not to take you off topic, but back to Deadpool for a second.
Whoa, that's off topic. Blood Eagle Wings. I'm sorry.
Top 50 grossing movies of all time.
That's right. Nobody thought they would make any money either. It's crazy.
Yeah, Sony even pulled $7 million right before they shot. Yeah. It's like, yeah, guys don't need that much money.
I couldn't be happier.
You're beaming with like pride. It's like,
but
it's like
what
really
scares me
school.
Though is like that director, the guy from Blur Studios.
Yeah, Tim or
Tim something.
Tim Miller.
He really does thrive on a lower budget. So I'm just scared. Like they give him a bigger budget. Like, will it have the same quality, or are they just like, oh well, we got money now, so we can just fix it later?
That's a good question.
Yeah,
you make a good point.
Blood Eagle Wings is the name of the song. Go look for that video when you're finished listening to the show.
Dude, that's the way they kill people in Viking days. I learned that from the Viking show.
You'll see it in the video, too.
Yeah. It's pretty brutal in the show.
It's pretty brutal in the video, dude. I think it's the most brutal music video I've ever seen.
Most brutal.
Brutal. Dave would love it. Brutal Dave.
Brutal Dave.
So, Saturday, you know, ever been to Cactus Music?
Yeah.
They did a CD release party at 1 o'clock. For Oceans of Slumber.
Yeah, was it packed
house? Really packed. It was really cool, though. They played like four songs.
Is that
songs.
Where you got that poster from?
That is where I got the poster. Kyler Sharp is the name of the artist. He did a really cool silkscreen print for the album release, and I bought one, and we had one donated for the auction for Bill's Memorial. And, man, that place was loud. It was great, though. It was packed. People were, there was lines for autographs from him and shit, and people buying the album. It was a lot of fun, man.
That's cool. Cool.
That night, I actually went to a bar in Pearland. Can you believe that?
No.
The one. What is it called? The one a day?
Did you ask for a bartender job?
No. Oh. The James Rivera was
would've
playing
made
there.
Sense for our comic.
It's true. James Rivera was actually playing there that night with Sabbath, Judas Sabbath. Weird. It was a weird combination of like heavy metal dudes and guys leaving who wanted to go get a drink at their bar, leaving the rodeo. Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Cool.
It was very interesting. But they played, you know, a lot of cool stuff. They even did finish the show with a Hellstar song. And fucking, this is the weirdest thing. James Rivera, who I've known for a long time, on stage made a comment about how much weight I've lost. I was like, what the fuck? Really? It was weird. Very strange.
That's how you know you made it.
I know, when rock star is like, hey, you've lost weight, dude. You mean I was fat before? What?
I was fat? What?
Really? No.
It's called orbit, Peter.
You literally have your own orbit.
It was a lot of fun, though. I mean, it was just good to actually get out and hang out with people, you know?
Sounds like a good time.
He did a cool tribute to Bill, too.
So. While you were there, I was at Staple.
You were? How was Staple? We never talked about that.
It was fun. I had a good time. I met up with some artists, caught some cool things.
Yeah, what did you get?
I got the final graphic novel of Dr. Muscles. And then I got me a...
Final.
Yeah, it's the last one they're ever going to make. And then I got a really cool Alien poster. Like, only 40 of them were made.
Really?
Yeah.
From the first movie or the sequel?
First one. It's really like a skinny, longer...
Like a Mondo type of thing?
Kind of. And, like, it has a little, like, astronaut and the egg is opening and the aliens behind him. It looks really cool.
That's cool.
And that was about it. I went with Catherine. She bought some art, too. Met up with some cool peeps. Saw Devin there. Met Meredith for the first time. Jumped on her podcast. What's it called again? Pop and Schlock?
Pop and Schlock.
Yeah.
Where's she from?
Houston.
He's from Houston?
Yeah, it's the local Houston show.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a good time being on their show. We laughed. We talked about movies a little bit.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Is Staple worth going to?
I have fun every time I go. I've been going for the past 3 years, so.
It's an independent art expo.
Yeah.
More than a regular Comic Con. So.
Right.
Did you see Mark Nasso there?
I did.
Yeah.
I said hello, and he participated, him and a whole bunch of other artists, they participated in, like, they did a art auction where a whole bunch of artists kept adding to this one piece.
Okay.
And then you just write how much you wanted to bid on it and stuff like that. I didn't stick around to see who won it. But
doesn't Comic Palooza do the same kind of thing?
Yeah, they do that art auction on Saturday night, which is a lot of fun.
I do. I enjoyed it. I went to it last year, yep. And I tried to win some shit, and the one I wanted got snagged right underneath my hands.
Exactly.
I fucking hate that shit.
I know.
And the guy who won it didn't even really want that piece, too, which even makes it even
he
worse.
He just did it not so you wouldn't get it.
Yeah, it's exactly what he did.
He was looking at you like, that bitch is not going to get my poster.
That fucking asshole. But yeah, Staple was a great time. And
I want to go 1 year. It's just so much going on right now. I couldn't get out.
It always falls on a weekend where there's like too much going on.
I always have a good time going and hang out in Austin afterwards, and I like going to Austin.
I like going to Austin, too. I haven't been in a while. I haven't been like since like last year. January.
Aren't you going next week?
To Austin?
Yeah.
No.
For South by Southwest?
I'm not going.
Oh. I thought you would be going.
It would have been this weekend if I was going, but I got too much going on.
Yeah, this weekend coming up is what I said.
No, yeah, I'm not going. Oh, well, you know, we're getting prepared for Bill's Memorial Show. I got a lot of shit to do before I go and work and all that kind of stuff. It's just no time for it.
Understandable.
Yeah. You got to priorities, you know, I guess.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I'm going to Vegas, though, for work.
That's true. That's in like next month, right? In April.
Yeah, I'm leaving April 16th, the day after Amon Amarth. I'm going to Amon Amarth and I'm going to go to Vegas.
Hungover.
No, I don't drink that much, so no. But I will tell you, after Comic Palooza in June, I'm taking a trip to Dallas.
Congratulations.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to see the Monkees.
Oh.
They bought 2 tickets.
Hey, it's the Monkees. That's how the song goes.
Yeah. There you go.
Hey, I'm driving to Dallas.
It's the Monkees. I'm driving to Dallas.
See, people listen to the show. They know that I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, of course.
It's still a little weird that this big metalhead dude, and my favorite band is the Monkees.
Why?
It's not that weird.
No, no.
I listen to everything, so.
I never heard everything. Are they any good?
Yeah, they're fantastic. They encompass everything in their music.
All kinds of genres, like, mixed together in a
blend. All at once. So it just sounds like a wall of noise the whole entire time.
Some people say that about my music, too. Like you.
I don't know
what we didn't do this week? We didn't do George Hates Metal.
Oh, shit.
I feel
Gee
bad
willikers.
Now. So you know
what
that means
shame.
For the next episode, right?
What does that mean?
You have to double up.
No, we ain't DPing this.
Nope, you are. You have to listen to two albums at the same time in one in each headphone.
One in each headphone?
Yeah.
It sounds like a wall of noise.
You should use your tweaked audio headphones to do that, because it would sound really good.
I would need two tweaked audio headphones.
Mine, then.
He's a little busy.
I am.
For two albums.
Yeah, I really am.
You cut him some slack and just give him one.
Thank you for bailing me out on that.
I'll just find you the longest album we can. Make you listen to the new Double Dream Theater album.
I tried listening to it.
I couldn't even get through it.
Gosh. I tried so hard. Because I like Dream Theater. At least I used to.
It was just, yeah, too much story and too much narrative style mixed in. I was like, okay, I can't get into it.
Just never
so
went
what's,
anywhere.
What's his project for next week?
I don't know yet. We'll have to figure it out. You have any ideas? Since you're here right now?
Should I give him something I think he'll like or something I think he'll hate?
Well, we've given him a couple softballs recently, so...
You have?
Yeah, we did.
When?
We gave you something. The
something, yeah.
Spiritual Beggars, you like that?
I don't remember that band.
Maybe if I heard it, I might remember. But the names,
no.
Do you like Enthroned Darkness Triumphant?
No, something a little bit more accessible.
Something that's on Spotify.
Which is the song?
Puritanical Euphoric.
That's the one with the song from Hellboy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, let's do that one.
Okay. Dimmu Borgir, Puritanical Euphoric Misanthropia.
I'm not going to remember that.
Yes, you are. Because I'll create a playlist for you on Spotify, and I will just keep on sending it to you until you play it.
That's totally fine.
We should do that. It'll be George Hates Metal playlist.
Yeah, so people can listen to it and like, how the fuck he doesn't like this? Oh, okay, he does
like this. It's one of my favorite bands. So. Oh,
I'm going to totally tear it apart.
That's okay.
It's like, why does it sound like an axe is going through a grinder?
Nah.
Meh.
Nah.
Meh.
We'll find out next week, though. Stay tuned.
Next
week, we will have Joe Nason from The Zone talking about the film race that I don't have time to participate in this year, but because it kicks off next week.
Yeah. And I am knee deep in comic book ship with Justin here. Yep. So
knee deep.
Knee deep. Or, you know, elbow deep.
Elbow deep.
Depending on
the day.
Yeah. Depending on how you take it.
Neither.
Depending on if we've eaten Whataburger yet or not.
There you go.
Is that your creative process of Whataburger and then writing?
Sometimes.
Most days, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes it's not.
If it works, it works.
Huh?
Sometimes we go other places.
Yeah, so we mix it up.
And the other time, it's not as good, right?
It just depends.
I don't know. I pick good places.
I know you do.
In the hole.
Like fisting.
Yeah, like to the elbow.
To the elbow. On that note, let's wrap it up.
To the elbow.
Thanks to Justin and George.
Man, you forgot my fucking name. Can you believe that shit? I'm the own damn co-host. I forgot my name for a second.
What's your name? Well, you haven't been here recently. So.
Oh. Is that my fault?
Yeah.
It's not my fault.
Not my fault.
You don't invite me over.
I do.
No.
Talking about.
Never
do. Every time I invite you over, I'm busy, dude. I'm sorry. Don't pull this shit on me now.
Because you happen to invite me when you know I'm working. That's when you do it.
Okay, I did that one time.
Twice. You've done that twice.
We were actually at lunch that day, and I know you were going over to the house, and I was like, I'm going to fuck with him. Hey, dude, do you want to come hang out? Oh, I'm sorry, dude. I already got things going on. I'm like, yeah, I know. But it didn't really plan out because that lunch is when I found out Bill passed away. So I was like, all right, my joke can't go on from
here. Three quarters of the lunch was good.
Right.
Until it got
sad. Until I got that text. I was like, fuck. But thanks for tuning in. A lot of cool places to find us on the internet. Do you remember them all?
No.
Do you remember two of them?
Maybe.
Okay, go for it.
Nerdbong is one of them.
Nerdbong.
ESO podcast.
There you go.
Altness. There's a couple others that I can't.
Did you say Pod Bros?
And I did not. But I can. Pod Bros.
Did you say Nerdbong?
I did.
Did you say the Houston Nerdcast Collective?
I did not. But them too.
What about Metal Onslaught Radio, where we played every Tuesday night at 9 p.m.?
I was going to say that.
Thank you, TJ.
But you're beat me
doing
to the
a
punch.
Fucking awesome job.
That's true. He is amazing.
He is. His real name is amazing, not TJ.
I know that. And basically, anybody named TJ is amazing.
You can also find us on the Blast Syndicate, which is another really cool combination of heavy metal podcast. And I think there's going to be a lot of other shit. I don't know.
A lot of other shit.
That's the name of the new network.
Well, you know, Comicpalooza is coming up, so that's very possible.
It's true.
And then you can find us for our comic book. We're at on Facebook right now at Gray Bear Comics.
Twitter?
G-R-A-Y.
Yeah, G-R-A-Y Bear.
Twitter?
Not on Twitter yet.
Instagram?
On Twitter, I'm at Comical Podcast.
And Twitter for me is George Tripsis.
And
also Instagram and Facebook.
And
what?
And Metal Geeks.
Oh, well, yeah. And Metal Geeks. Oh, yeah. But I was pitching my stuff first.
Okay. Don't forget that the Kickstarter for our book begins April
2nd. So he just admitted he's a pitcher, not a catcher.
Okay. Womp, womp. It's a gay joke. I got it.
Yeah. Well, Gay Bear. Gay Bear Comics.
Oh, come on. That's low-hanging
fruit.
It's
only funny if he's the catcher. If he's the pitcher, it's like, haha, you have a penis. Like,
okay.
How you fuck things.
Am I wrong? I can see your point. Catchers are funny. Pitchers are not. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on from there.
So anyways, April 2nd is when the Kickstarter goes live. If you can support us, we have a lot of great rewards, and I think people will like the book. Again, it's called Speak No Evil, and we'll be talking about it quite a bit in the upcoming weeks.
I'll be giving some sneak peeks through our Facebook.
And Instagram
soon.
Just keep an eye out. A lot of good stuff on the horizon.
Well, congrats again to you guys. I'm happy.
We're working very hard on it, and I think we have a really great story on our hands.
It's cool to see my friends achieve their dream. You know what I mean?
I really do feel like this is going to be a good thing for everyone to read and have a good time reading.
And I'm in it. So
yeah, of course. You are in it.
But you know what? Truthfully, I guess life is short, so do what the fuck you want. Be happy. Do what makes you happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Of course. And then
we need more socks.
Yeah.
That makes you happy. You know, they sell them in like 12 packs, right?
Buy those jumbo packs is what you need to have Sam's and shit. Costco.
36 pairs. That'll last me a night.
That'll last for this week. For Metal Geeks, you can reach us at anything Metal Geeks for social media. That's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm on Facebook again, at George Tripsis. Same for Instagram and Twitter.
You have to find us on, go search for us on the iTunes, subscribe, and give us a review and all that good stuff, because it really does help bring people to the show.
And when you subscribe to iTunes, it's a twofer. You don't get just Metal Geeks, you get MSRcast.
That's true. We're the same feed now, so this...
It's a surprise.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get.
Exactly.
It's like
the truth.
It's like a box of chocolate,
like this
right?
episode, it's totally off the cuff.
Exactly right. So thanks again, guys, for hanging out and talking about your cool comic book coming out.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking time to let us talk about it.
Yeah, definitely.
I appreciate you being on the show.
I'm always on the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Fuck. I appreciate you being on the show.
I'm happy to be here.
You're supposed to say I'm always on the show, too. Well, yeah, you are.
He kind of is.
I'm living back over in that corner.
Right?
Sure. Wait till you go to bed tonight.
Oh, yeah. If anybody wants to check out my comic reviews or anything like that, you can find me at comicalpodcast.com or just do a search for Comical Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud.
Yep.
Leave us reviews, too, if you like the show.
That's how I really find out about what I should be reading, is listening to your show.
Yep.
It's true. And
plus, I like hearing Miguel rant about shit.
Yes.
That ever happened? Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Almost every day.
Almost every day. It's great.
It's true. I have one last thing I want to say.
What's that?
Keep it metal.
And?
I don't know.
Bring your socks.
A lot of socks. Keep it geeky, everybody.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.